Mike Philbrick, CEO at Resolve Asset Management, is here with me. And today, we're taking a look at systematic macro and the return stacking strategy innovated by Return Stacked ETFs, sponsored by Resolve Asset Management and Newfound Research. Mike, first of all, how would you describe what are commonly known as systematic macro strategies?
Well, great question. So systematic macro strategies are about data-driven, rules-based investing across many global markets. So these strategies tend to scan, you know, sometimes hundreds of assets from various categories of assets, from things like equities, bonds, currencies, and commodities. And they use a quantitative signal generation to identify various trends, value dislocations, carry opportunities, volatility opportunities, and more. So a systematic macro portfolio often is, you know, it gives you both long and short exposures to multi-assets with systematic discipline. And I think the key really is it adapts to changing market environments pretty actively. And when you're across sort of four broad sectors like equities, bonds, currencies, and commodities, it gives you a sort of a broad horizon to be looking across and to be looking at markets as to whether maybe you should be long or short those markets based on whatever factor you're trying to harness. I will add there that, you know, the factors that you might be harnessing in our systematic approaches, the factors are things that you may be familiar with, like trend, volatility, and some others that are less familiar, mean reversion, carry, those types of factor exposures, but less known, but also just give you a different way to look at the assets in order to think about, well, what is the statistical opportunity for price movement in the future? Is the price more likely to go up, go down? How volatile is that position in the intervening period? And then building a portfolio of those assets, which then again brings in that systematic quantitative data-based methodology, because it's actually quite hard for, you know, a human brain to think across all of those assets in preparing a portfolio or in building a portfolio.
What is the diversification benefit of adding a systematic macro strategy to a traditional equity bond portfolio? What's in it for investors?
Traditional portfolios, like that typical 60-40 bond stock portfolio, tend to struggle when both asset classes get hit by something like inflationary shocks or stagflation. And we saw this quite starkly in 2022, where you had both stocks and bonds go down simultaneously, you know, in the neighborhood of 20%. So the bonds didn't provide that typical buffer that we've seen in decades past. What's also interesting is that negative stock bond correlation that we've seen sort of pretty effectively since, you know, 1982 is also a function of the direction of interest rates and the direction of inflation. So we're in a new period, obviously, with tariffs and inflation threats and things like that, where, you know, the growth shock may not always lead to, you know, bonds going up, or an inflation shock, which then gets into a growth shock, will leave a stock bond portfolio vulnerable. Where a systematic macro portfolio or a systematic macro strategy comes in is they have historically low correlation to stocks and bonds. So providing that third wheel, if you will, in a scenario where the shock is more inflationary, combining with growth, giving you that stagflation. And in those scenarios, systematic macro strategies have tended to deliver positive returns. Again, that's a function of the system itself being able to be either long or short those asset classes we talked about. So it's not just diversification on paper, it's diversification that's worked during the moments when investors have cared about it most.
And Mike, what's the traditional way investors have added systematic macro to their portfolios?
Well, yeah, that's a great question. Typically, what's happened in the past, if we look at retail investors, investors, you know, will add a systematic macro fund, and they'll have to reduce their core exposure to the assets that they, you know, often know, love, and trust, like those various stocks and bonds we just talked about. So you end up taking dollars away from your stocks and bonds to make room for these alts, the alternatives. And that exposure that clients are most familiar with and comfortable with, it diversifying from that, as good an idea as that is, can often cause real behavioral pain when those alternatives underperform or do something that's a little bit different than, you know, maybe the investor had intuition for. So you end up with a portfolio that's more diversified, but behaviorally, it's much harder to hold. And if clients abandon it at the wrong time, it really defeats the purpose of the diversification. And so if you have a portfolio, let's say you've taken, you know, you've gone from 60-40 to the classic 50-30-20, where you've taken 10% away from your equities, 10% away from your bonds, and you've added 20% alts. Well, now your stock and bond portfolio, if it continues to go up, and 2024 was a good example of this, you know, stocks and bonds did pretty good. Alternatives didn't do great. So if you sold your stocks or bonds, the S&P 500 last year was up 24%, and bought a really good global systematic macro portfolio, that was probably up, I don't know, somewhere in the neighborhood of 6-8%. But up 24 versus up 6-8 is a bit of a behavioral gap for investors. Now, it was positive returns, right? Great. So sometimes people can get through, the investors can get through that. But what about when there are kind of negative returns where they were like, oh, I've got a negative 5 from my alternatives and my, you know, my stock and bonds were up 24. That's where investors will tend to give up on that alternative when it's in drawdown,
yeah,
basically crystallizing and locking in those losses with no opportunity for the system and strategy to regress to the mean. So traditionally, investors on the retail side have had to allocate sort of 50-30-20. On the institutional side, there's this thing in the past in called today portable alpha, where you use some of your the collateral from your stocks and bonds. No pension fund knows that it's going to own its S&P 500 exposure forever. It's never going to be sold.
Right.
So that's a bit like lazy collateral. And so what they do in the institutional world is they use that collateral to build trading strategies, some of them systematic macro, that are very complementary, that often do well when traditional markets are struggling, and they layer them on top.
How does return stacking or using portable alpha to add or stack systematic macro work? And what key investing dilemmas does it actually resolve?
So this is exactly why we came up with the concept of return stacking and return stacked portfolios. So bringing this institutional portable alpha strategy to individual investors and advisors to allocate in their portfolios. So return stacking solves the funding dilemma, right? Mm-hmm. Instead of replacing those core allocations, we stack the global macro strategy on top. You know, with the capital efficient instruments like futures, we're able to deliver a dollar of exposure to, you know, generally a balanced portfolio when we've got the systematic macro portfolio and in the stack. And that's roughly 50% equities and 50% bonds. And then you get a dollar of exposure of the diversified systematic macro strategy stacked on top. And so this way, investors don't give up what they know, love, and trust. And they add something very powerful on top of that portfolio. This helps reduce the tracking error that that often comes with that behavioral ugliness we talked about
right
earlier. It preserves that familiar core that they know, love, and trust, and introduces true diversification stacked on top of what they're going to hold anyway.
So this solution is now available in Canada under your newly launched ETF, ticker RGBM, which is the Return Stacked Global Balanced and Macro ETF. How would you use this ETF, RGBM, to stack systematic macro on top of your pre-existing traditional equity bond portfolio?
So the RGBM is the ticker of the Canadian ETF, and that's the Return Stack Global Equities and Bonds and Macro ETF, or Return Stack Global Balanced and Macro ETF. Now, this combines, as you've already mentioned, a balanced allocation of 50% global equities and 50% Canadian bonds. And on top of that, as you mentioned, you stack the systematic macro strategy. And so you're getting $2 of exposure. Now, how would we implement this in the portfolio? Well, let's just go back to the example of the 60-40, moving to the 50-30-20. Let's not move to a 50-30-20 where we're sacrificing our core exposures in order to add the diversifying alternative. Rather, let's stack them on top. So in the 50-30-20 case, what you would do is say, okay, well, let's do the same thing. Let's sell 10% of the equities. Let's sell 10% of the bonds. And by adding the Return Stack Global Balanced Macro ETF into the portfolio, what happens is the 10% in global stocks is replaced and put back in the portfolio. The 10% that's in Canadian bonds is also put back in the portfolio. And on top of that, you have a 20% allocation to a systematic macro strategy. So now you have 120% exposure in the portfolio, right? So you are using a little bit of leverage. But what's happening is underneath the surface, you have your full 60-40. So your tracking error is reduced. You have your continued allocation to the stocks and bonds you know, love, and trust and have done so well and have treated investors so well and that they're so comfortable with. And on top of that, you're putting your diversifier. So now that diversifier doesn't have to beat the balanced allocation. It only really has to beat the cost of financing, which is, you know, how much you're paying to finance the trading of the systematic macro strategy. That being a future strategy has very, very low costs for margin. These are institutional interbank rates that you're getting a margin rate on. Now, we've written extensively on that, and you can go check that out at Return Stack Portfolio Solutions on how that leverage works and how the costing is so effective, a little bit beyond the scope of this conversation. But circling back, basically you end with a 60-40 portfolio and you've got your 20% allocation to alternatives stacked on top. And this allows for the investor to reduce those behavioral errors that they make, solves that funding problem, and allows them to keep those assets that they know, love, and trust while they're stacking that systematic portfolio on top.
Can you talk about the incremental potential return of having that extra 20% in systematic macro? So, for example, instead of trying to beat the market by being a stock picker, an extraordinary stock picker, you're maintaining your position in the market. You're keeping your core positions, but now you've added this extra 20% in systematic macro. What kind of incremental return can investors expect by doing that?
There's two things that applying a return stacked approach to your portfolio does. One, by adding diversification, it does reduce the risk in the portfolio. So you do get a better risk adjusted return. It also at the same time has the ability to help you outperform those underlying stock and bond betas. So you've got those stock and bond betas and let's say you've got your global stocks, you're matching that perfectly. That's, you know, an easy thing to buy from an ETF perspective. You've got the bonds. That's also very easy to replicate those performances. And so now what you have is the cost of finance that has to be paid in order for the trading strategy to be executed. So all of that systematic macro strategy has to do is simply beat the cost of financing in order to add excess returns. Now, typically those longer term, so in the short term, you know, in a 1-3 month, 1 year period, all kinds of funny stuff can happen. But over 3, 5, and 10 years, what you have is a consistent factor that's just that return that's built on top. And we would expect, you know, that to be somewhere between 4-6% above the cost of capital over time that can be accrued on top of what you're doing in your beta portfolio. The nice thing too is with the diversifying strategies, you know, you also hope to have some sort of diversification when we get into turbulent markets, because you do have things that do well in a 2022 context. But, you know, as we talked about the 2024 context, if we, you know, just go through, okay, let's think about the 50-30-20. So, you know, your stocks did 24, your bonds did 1 or 2, and your systematic macro did 8. Well, why not have both the stocks and bonds at their full exposure, doing those returns, and then stacking that excess return on top rather than having it instead of. And so that, again, brings it back to helping the behavioral attenuate the behavioral tracking error and adding the opportunity, as you say, to outperform in a different way than, let's say, stock picking. So, you know, there's stock picking going on. That's a tough business as well. So you may have a portion of your portfolio that's trying to harness other value factors and picking stocks and doing those types of things. But that's great. But why not take the indexes that you're going to track almost perfectly and then stack on top of that an excess return that's non-correlated to the rest of the portfolio?
So instead of trying to be a better stock picker or hoping that luck works out for you, you're basically substituting one risk. So instead of adding something that is just is mimicking what you already own in your portfolio, you're substituting that for a strategy that has no correlation to your traditional equity bond portfolio. It adds breadth to your portfolio. And in a year where, for example, bonds or equities or both have a drawdown, the return on the systematic macro can actually help offset some of those paper losses in your portfolio.
And you do have to factor in the cost of financing there. So you get your beta return, your systematic macro trading return minus the cost of financing. That's what we'll get. Again, if anyone wants to look up the cost of financing and do a little bit more digging into that, we've got lots of information on the portfolio return stack portfolio strategies website.
Yeah.
So it helps people work through those types of things because that's a bit of a complicated topic. So setting that aside, it's just as you say. And, you know, there's going to be periods of time where, you know, the alternatives are doing poorly and your equities are doing well. And, you know, your equities are doing poorly and your, you know, macro strategy is doing well. You know, when they both simultaneously do poorly together, which can happen from time to time, again, it works over time, not all the time. That's, you know, an opportunity to probably allocate and build into your portfolio some protection on the downside, as well as the opportunity to add excess returns in the long run.
Right, right. It's working smarter, not harder, and getting additional return streams.
Yeah, I've heard many CIOs, refer to it as, it feels like I'm cheating.
Yeah, John Glidden. Who runs the Delta Airlines pension plan.
Yeah, John Glidden, exactly.
Mike, thank you. Thank you for explaining that.
It was a pleasure. Always a pleasure, Pierre. And hopefully viewers get some insights out of it and can help them better allocate to alternatives, especially in the current market environment we're experiencing.